CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Gordon Chang, and we welcome Anne Stephenson Yang. Anne is author of a new book forthcoming. I'm very much looking forward to it. Wild Ride, China's Short-Lived Experiment in Capitalism. We have some metrics today that suggest that the wild ride is bucking especially harshly at this moment. I begin with a GDP announcement by the authorities in Beijing of 5.2%, claiming that that is what they were aiming for in growth. We also have a number out of the Wall Street Journal reporting. China's population decline accelerates as women skip motherhood births, goes the subhead. Births continue to plummet. China ended 2023 with 1.410 billion people, a drop of 2.08 million. And what I've learned over the years, anecdotally, is that a growing population is prosperity, and a shrinking population is the other thing. Does that connect to what we're getting from China right now? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Yes, there's also the what do you call it? You know, the ratio between young and old people, which is getting worse for China, and they're going to have a lot of retirees per working person pretty soon. Yeah, it's just not good there.
Gordon, you have a question.
Ian, I think you're thinking of the dependency ratio.
Dependency ratio. Thank you. Yeah, my vocabulary leaves me.
My age means that I often forget these things.
you don't seem to.
Ian, the people at Davos, at least the business segment at Davos, didn't believe Premier Li Qiang yesterday when he said the Chinese economy would grow about 5.2%, which is exactly what the National Bureau of Statistics said today. I know that this is extremely difficult because there's probably no good answer, but what is your best estimate of the growth of the Chinese economy in 2023?
I mean, I don't know, Gordon, but this idea, you know, 5.2%, it's, I would call it kind of unbelievable. I mean, the thing that really drove that was consumer spending, which they called 7.5%. Now, consumer spending is the statistic that's easiest for local governments just to make up because they don't have a good handle on statistics for a number of reasons. But they basically, you know, bring it in where they need to bring it in. And I think that's probably what they did. Either way, 5.2% on a very, very low comparable is really not good. And China, as you know, reports year-on-year GDP while other people report quarter-on-quarter.
The property sector, the collapse of large developers, the debts in, heaped on the municipalities over many years, take care of your own, don't look to Beijing. What does that tell us right now about the future, Anne? Because we've got a shrinking population and either unbuilt cities or empty cities.
Yeah, I think that the property growth, the purchases of property were a classic mania. It's just that it lasted a really long time, similar to the tulip mania or the dot-com mania. And the thing about this sort of thing is it just doesn't repeat. And so there's just going to be a lot of empty apartments all across the nation.
And have you got some statistics about the decline of mortgages or the decline of purchases or the decline in general of prices being charged for new apartments?
Well, it's, you know, China doesn't provide very useful statistics. We do know that that new starts in construction were down by about more than 20%, according to the National Bureau of Statistics. Sales fell by almost 9% in the month, and prices fell for the most in I think, 9 years.
Gordon, we've got to do a lot of guessing about statistics. Has China always been very, very iffy about statistics? And did Wall Street believe it for years and has stopped believing?
Well, the statistics have been iffy for a number of reasons. First of all, in a fast-growing, fast-changing economy, it's hard to measure. But also, they just didn't survey a lot. They relied upon reporting, as Anne just talked about, from lower-level governments to more senior ones. And there was a lot of incentive to lie and cheat. Plus, also, there is falsification at the center. if they need a number, they'll get that number. So for a lot of reasons, those numbers have not been reliable. And yes, Wall Street just wanted to be deceived, and they had every reason to deceive everybody else, especially when they were selling Chinese stocks. So yes, whether they believed it or not on Wall Street, they relayed the information as reliable.
You have a question for Anne.
Anne, even if the economy were growing at 5.2, let's just for sake of argument, it strikes me that it's not producing enough output to service the debt, to build all the stuff that you just referred to over this period of time. Is there going to be a debt crisis?
It depends on what you mean by a debt crisis, Gordon. I mean, the idea that the banks will simply have a heart attack and stop providing services, you know, stop transacting, that's probably not going to happen. A lot of small banks are being absorbed by larger banks. I think what I mean by crisis is that services get withdrawn, to services to regular people. And that's because the local governments, which are so heavily indebted for this building boom, just can't provide the schools and the hospitals and the roads anymore. And so they're gradually withdrawing some of those.
Gordon, the puzzle about the leadership in Beijing, these numbers are alarming, even given their exaggerated origins. Is the party reacting in any fashion unusually? Because this drip, drip, drip is odd that there's no change of the posture.
That's a great question, John. And the problem is that we really don't know what's happening in Beijing, but we can see symptoms that do not occur in periods of stability. We have Xi Jinping sacking a lot of people, and there's all sorts of reasons for it. We've talked about the ones in the rocket force and at the top of the Chinese military, the defense minister, the foreign minister in the civilian ranks of the party. So, yeah, there's a lot of problems there, and we don't know exactly what's going on. And I assume that the technocrats are apoplectic now, but Xi Jinping is an ideologue, so I'm not sure that he's terribly worried about this.
And I read in one of the papers out of London, I believe, might have been Bloomberg, about a modern city, a magical city built outside of Beijing. Nobody much lives there. The streets are empty or filled with workmen because they're still constructing it. And it was protected during the flooding by diverting waters into places where people lived. You probably know the name of it. It's a ghost city close to Beijing. Is this representative of the future? They're building cities nobody wants to live in and they have to be ordered to go there? We have about a minute.
That is true. There are so many such cities that it's hard to know which one you're referring to outside of Beijing. Beijing is a huge area the size of the tri-state area outside New York. And so you kind of have to guess which one it is. But these things are all over China, John.
And so they're not filling them. They're going to order people to live there. They're going to protect them as projects, and they can't pay for them. Is all that true, Anne?
I think that that's true, yes. They mandate, particularly governments have the ability to move their government center to the new city that they've built. So a number of governments have done that. Beijing is trying to do that as well.
Anne Stephenson Yang, the new book is Wild Ride, China's Short-Lived Experiment in Capitalism. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Rash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.